Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
AgriTalk is brought to you by NK Seeds, the fastest growing seed brand, getting you top hybrids and varieties that perform on your acre. NK Seeds, bushels don't lie.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to AgriTalk. Your pal, Davis Michelson here. Chip is out for the week. He's probably out in the woods somewhere, camo, you know, with the I don't know if he's a face painter or not when he's out hunting. I never thought to ask him. I would imagine, I don't know. I really don't know where to fall on that. We'll ask him when he gets back. I'm glad that you are with us today. Let me bring in my next guest, Alan Hoskins, American Farm Mortgage and Financial Services. Mr. Hoskins, thank you for spending some time with us today. I appreciate it.
Well, good morning, Davis. I appreciate that very well. And you've given me an interesting mental image of Chip with face paint.
I'm sorry about that. I really am. I would like to think that you know, it feels intuitively like maybe he's not a face painter, but maybe he's one of these guys that paints his face, you know, only if he knows that no one's going to be seeing him. Like, he's out in the woods and he's, you know, it's sort of his safe place there. It's his happy place. We wish him well. Anyway, to the discussion at hand, Alan, I want to talk a little bit. Let's start here because I teased it when I was reading the news, and I just want to get your thoughts. I read the story. Revolving credit, that's credit card debt mostly, fell sharply at the outset of the pandemic, but has since rebounded to a record level in October, $1.171 trillion in October. That news note raised my eyebrow. I'm curious what your thoughts might be.
Well, all of the information, Davis, that I've seen mirrors right along with what you're talking about. We are seeing credit card debt continuing to escalate. You know, we saw a lot of changes in personal spending during COVID. Obviously, there was a fair amount of pent-up demand, and sounds as though that pent-up demand as product availability has come back into the marketplace. Folks are buying, and we're seeing credit card debt levels go back up. You know, the news we saw during COVID, candidly, was pretty encouraging to me with those levels going down. But unfortunately, those levels have gone back up, and couple that with the increase in interest rates, it's going to be interesting to see the effects of that longer term.
Well, now, you probably have a pretty good handle on the psychology of the American consumer from the fiduciary perspective. Is there a tendency among Americans to, once they've worked really hard and, oh, I've got my credit cards are paid down to zero, my percent of, or, you know, paid down close to zero anyway, my percent of credit used is super low, this all looks really good. Now they're going to become perhaps even more aggressive than they were before in charging those back up, especially here at the holiday season. Is that a thing or not necessarily?
Well, certainly we've seen, if you look at it from a farm perspective, one of the most challenging expenses there is to control is living expense. And that is not unique to the farm economy. That is the economy of people in general. And let's face it, the American economy is based on consumerism. And if you look at trends over time, as more products become available, there is a desire in the marketplace to utilize the availability of funds to be able to buy the things that we need, or most of the time more want than truly need. And people will use credit. And at times, I think there's not necessarily the realization of what that's going to look like in 12 months or 18 months when that the ultimate cost of that purchase is known because of the interest on top of it. Right. So I would say, Davis, that what you're describing is pretty accurate in what we see with the American consumer.
Now, moving on, I'm going to lob you a softball here. You can take this question any way that you want to go. I have a lot of questions, a lot of things I'd like to touch on here. So we'll just let you drive the conversation here a little bit, but how, generally, from your perspective, from American Farm Mortgage and Financial Services, talk to me about the farm credit system in general.
Well, if you look at where the agricultural lending industry is as a whole, there's a lot of solidity in where lending institutions are at this point. And we are looking at balance sheets in agriculture that have become stronger. Part of that is due to what I would refer to as non-earned net worth, that being the increase in real estate values. But over the past couple of years, earned net worth, the true profit that we earn from the operation of the farm, has strengthened. We've seen working capital come back in very strong. Obviously, we don't know where 22 is going to end up, but at least at this point, it looks like working capital levels on farms are going to continue to be strong. That translates into typically strength for the lenders in the industry. So I think if you look at the lending industry as a whole, we're in a pretty good position to be able to service the needs of agriculture. We've seen other types of lenders come into the marketplace over the last 2 or 3 years. And so that's also something that's a little bit different, Davis, than certainly what we saw in previous decades. But as a whole, the lending industry is coming into the 2023 crop year in a pretty good position, kind of mirrors where farmers are in general.
So if I'm connecting dots here, it sounds like borrowers are able to make their payments. I'm not hearing you mention delinquencies, panic, land sales, these sort of bold, drastic moves that farmers need when the financial bleeding is getting too much to bear. Is that fair?
That's very fair. Yes, that's very fair. We're not seeing a lot of distressed borrowers at this point. Again, you know, certainly you can look at regions within the United States where there's a little more pressure than others, perhaps due to drought conditions that have taken place. But if you look primarily in most areas, there's a fair amount of financial strength that borrowers possess coming into it. So no, there's not just a tremendous amount of stress on current cash positions. Obviously, lenders are going to be sitting down with farmers over the next few months, looking at cash flows for 2023. I would anticipate those are going to look different, certainly, than what we saw in 2022. Producers, for the most part, did a pretty good job coming into the 22 crop year of utilizing lower fertilizer prices that were a little more prevalent at the end of 21. We're going to see how they do on marketing as a whole this year, because again, the chapter of that book has not been written because we don't know where the final numbers are going to come in. But as a whole, we're in pretty good position coming into the year.
Well, I'm glad that you brought up that it's going to be meeting with the lender season coming up here. Maybe I'm thinking about this incorrectly, but it feels like farmers, some may be in for a shock as far as what some of those numbers look like interest rate wise.
Davis, you could be right. And candidly, I'm going to personalize this and say it from my perspective. If any of the folks that I'm working with directly are shocked, then kind of shame on me a little bit, because as a lender, I need to communicate the good. I need to communicate the challenges. And candidly, I certainly hope the borrowers that I deal with don't experience it to where the only time that they hear from me is once a year, but rather we have conversations throughout the year about where trends are and what they may look like going into 2023. So again, I'm not trying to cast any ill light on any other lenders. I can only speak from my personal perspective. Sure. But I want to make sure, Davis, that, even though we're here in the holiday season around Christmas time, I don't want to be giving surprises necessarily to the customers that I work with.
That's really good and admirable. I really like that approach. So I spoke with Dr. Jim Minter from Purdue University, and in conversations with others, it feels a little bit like farmers are anticipating that 23 could be a little bit more challenging. And, the expectations for farmers to spend money on build outs on their farms or to spend money here or there seem to be shifting. Can you, do you have a sense of what farmers are spending money on currently?
Well, obviously here at the end of the year, there's tax planning going on. So it's looking at what opportunities may exist to minimize the tax bite through the utilization of prepays. As a general rule, we're seeing a much greater challenge in being able to use equipment purchases as a tax management tool than what we have historically, simply because of what is currently present in the marketplace on availability. The segment you just did with Greg, I think, highlights that very well. And so we still do see farmers looking at opportunities of how to increase profitability from the perspective of possibly tile installation, which allows for better profitability opportunities on existing land. There's some of that that's going on as opposed to looking at additional land acquisition. There's also folks that are looking at perhaps upgrading a drying system to something a little more efficient. So it may give them a double helping of opportunity from the standpoint of perhaps greater bushel flow on a per hour basis, as well as minimizing the expense related to utilities. So I would say, Davis, it's kind of a little bit all over the board. I will say the good managers, these are things that they have been looking at, not just in the last 30 days, but over the past year.
Alan Hoskins from American Farm Mortgage. I wish we had a little bit more time, but I really appreciate your words here. It's good counsel. I appreciate you. Thanks for spending some time with us, sir.
Davis, thanks for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Well, we've got one more segment to go here. I've got a couple of things that I need to inform you on that we didn't get to in the news segment, and perhaps a little bit of nonsense. We'll see. We'll see. It's Davis Michelson, AgriTalk. Don't go away.